pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you for the singing, the offering, as well as the video we saw about the missionaries here. I pray you'd be with them. Lord, help me as I preach tonight. Thank you for the word you've given us. If it wasn't for your word, we'd be lost. Help me as I preach that today, and I pray that I'm used as a mouthpiece to get your message to your people. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. So the title of my message tonight is Centered on the Lord. Not swaying left, not swaying right, but centered just where you're supposed to be. And that's where God wants you. He wants you to be exactly where He has told you to be. And centered on the Lord here, this passage of Scripture where it says we're not our heart, believers, our heart is not supposed to envy sinners. We're not supposed to envy the world. We're gonna get into some verses about that. But it says that we're supposed to be in the fear of the Lord all the day long. And just an introduction, I just want to kick us off on the right foot here, that we're supposed to be, the Lord tells us where we're supposed to be. This isn't supposed to be a mystery where you're supposed to be in life as a believer. You're supposed to be saved, baptized, a member of one of His churches, and serving the Lord in every capacity you can. And that is where we're supposed to be. But there's so many believers today that are left, they're on the left side, they're swaying right, and some, if they're in the center, they're not there very long, just because they're just passing through to the other side. And us, I would say members that have been in the thick of it and we're still plugging away for the Lord, struggling, you know, we all are tempted like everybody, and we all stumble sometimes and maybe even fall, but the righteous man gets up. But it's frustrating when we see someone coming from one side, passing to the center, and having no mindset of sticking around. And that's frustrating. The Bible says that we're supposed to be centered on the Lord, and we're supposed to stay there. And it says all the day long. All the day long are we supposed to. It would be, so I have 3 points today. They all start with the letter C. And all my subpoints start with the letter W, about on how can we accomplish this. As believers, how can we be centered on the Lord? We look at sometimes of what the world has, and we want to envy what they have. Their wealth, their beauty, their power, whatever it might be. And when you read the Scriptures, I don't see how anyone in their right mind can read the Scriptures and desire what the world has. Because when you read it, their end doesn't end very well for them. And they don't have joy. The Bible says there's no peace with the wicked. There's peace, though, with the Lord. Amen. So we're supposed to remember that as believers. We're supposed to be centered on the Lord. So the first point I have here today is the charge. We are given a charge. The book of Proverbs, written from a father to a son. Our heavenly Father had put this in His word because it was evident that we needed this. And it was put there because there is a charge given. And you wouldn't be a good dad if you didn't charge your son to do the things that he's supposed to do. Amen. I'm glad I don't let my children do whatever they want. And I'm glad my parents didn't let me do whatever I want, because I pretty much guarantee I wouldn't be here tonight. But we are given a charge by our Father, our Heavenly Father. And that charge is that we are not supposed to envy sinners. Not supposed to envy what they have, but that we are supposed to be in the fear of the Lord all the day long. Not just the time you come to church, not just the time that you think it might be appropriate for certain circumstances, but it says be in the fear of the Lord all the day long. That's at all times. Well, if this is going to be something that's all the time, you would say that this is a lifestyle change. You'd have to say that something major has to change within us to be able to do this. So the first point, though, we see a charge. A charge is to give a job or a responsibility to. The term here, the phrase here in verse 17, let not, don't let it happen. And I'm sure we all have rules in our houses and things like of that nature. And the Lord is telling us in the Scriptures here, in the inspiration of the Word of God through Solomon, writing to his son, we see here that the father is telling the son, don't let this happen. That's what he's saying. It's a charge. And us fathers today, we need to charge our sons with the wisdom that God offers. and that we are supposed to live in the fear of the Lord all the day long. A couple of verses, I'm just going to read them for time's sake. Psalm 73, verse 2 says, "But as for me, my feet were almost gone." This is the Psalm of Asaph. He said, the Psalm of Asaph said, "As for me, my feet were almost gone. My steps had well nigh slipped, for I was envious at the foolish when I saw the prosperity of the wicked." And before I continue, you do see that the wicked does prosper of vanity, don't they? There's a prosperity of vanity with the wicked and with the world. And remember, vanity, which means it doesn't really amount to anything in the end. That's what vanity is. It doesn't mean anything. Like, you could put all your best stuff on a big boat, but if it's going to sink tomorrow, what does it matter? Right? What does it matter about all the money and all the gold and all the fame people have on this earth? When they die, they take nothing of it with them. What does it matter? So we see here, it says, "I almost nigh slipped when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. When I thought to know this, it was too painful for me. Until I went into the sanctuary of God. Then understood I therein, surely thou didst set them in slippery places, thou cast them down into destruction." We see here the first point under the charge is to be wise. We have to be wise about this. When Asaph, when he saw the prosperity of the wicked, he was actually envious at a time. And his feet almost nigh slipped when he saw it. And it says here that it actually was painful unto him until he went into the house of God. Then he understood their end, and he understood the desolation and the slippery places that the wickedness are in because of their vanity, because it's not for God. And it's an understanding that the Lord is going to cast down into destruction the wicked. So we have to charge people, being centered on the Lord, being asked to, we remembering our charge of our Heavenly Father to us is to be wise. And that makes sense, doesn't it? If we go back to our text, Proverbs chapter 23, I don't know any father that looks at their son and says, right before they go to school, and say, "Be stupid today, son." Right? They say, "Do good in school." And when their kids come home, you know, I don't know about you guys, but I almost want to cringe just a little bit when a teacher comes up to me and tells me how my kids are doing. I'm going, I hope they're doing good, because if not, they're in trouble. Actually, it's my kids are cringing probably. But you want your kids to do good, and you're going to give them wisdom. Be smart, be wise, be kind, be loving, be charitable, be righteous. Those are all wise things. You're not going to tell them to be stupid. That doesn't make any sense. But the charge from our Heavenly Father is wisdom. Proverbs 23, verse 15, it says, "My son, if thine heart be wise, my heart shall rejoice, even mine." So if a son is good, I didn't write that verse down, but a good son maketh a glad father. That's a good verse, right? And we see here, "Let not thine heart," I'm sorry, in verse 16 it says, "Yea, my reins shall rejoice when thy lips speak right things." I'm sure it's happened maybe a couple times in my dad's life when it came to me or my other brothers, maybe. And that was, he was proud of us, right? Where he's like, "Wow, you actually maybe heard what we said," and said, "You know, for once you actually made sense there for a minute," right? And all of you fathers, all of you mothers want to hear your children one day stand up and say something righteous, and you go, "My heart now will rejoice." Amen. We want our children to be wise. And that's what we're trying to get them to do. Verse 19 says, "Hear thou, my son, and be wise, and guide thine heart in the way." So we're talking about being centered in the Lord. We have to guide our heart, the Heavenly Father to an earthly father to his earthly son, as well as a Heavenly Father to us. He's telling us that we need to guide our heart. And it has to, and that's the charge that was given to us. And it says in verse 20, "Be not among wine bibbers, among riotous eaters of flesh, for the drunkard and the glutton shall come to poverty, and drowsiness shall clothe a man with rags." And if you look in verse 24, "The father of the righteous, though, shall greatly rejoice. And he that begetteth a wise child shall have joy of him." The Lord wants to be proud of us. He wants to have joy in the things we say. And when we speak right and righteous things, He wants to say, "That's my son." That's what He wants to say. And we see here in Romans 12:2, we know Romans 12:1, where it says, "I beseech you therefore by the mercies of Christ that you present your bodies a living sacrifice," right? "Holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service." Well, verse 2 says, "And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." The first thing we're charged with is to be wise. Not only to be wise, but that our way is set. Our way is set. Proverbs 23, verse 12, it says, "Apply thine heart unto instruction, and thine ears to the words of knowledge." Our way is set. I'm sure some of you have used Google Maps before, right? And you put in there where you want to go. Well, don't be shocked when your kids don't want to come to church, don't come to church, don't read their Bible. They're not faithful to the Lord's house, and they're putting in their mind and in their heart things that are not of God. Right. Where do you think they're going to end up? Right. Where are you going to end up when, parents, where are you going to end up if your heart's not there? If you're putting in your navigation the things of this world, where do you think you're going to end up? Good. Have you ever typed in something in Google Maps and it ended up being like there was Oak Street, but there's also an Oak Road, and you ended up on Oak Road, and you're going, "What's going on here?" Or you're in the, or it's Port Angeles instead of Squim. It's because you plugged in the wrong numbers. But what's interesting about the Word of God is it's so far away. Light and darkness are so far away. But we're so silly sometimes, and we put darkness into our navigation, and we end up in the wrong place. And and that's really bad. I'll tell you what, but it's very interesting when we do those type of things. If we don't let the Lord be our navigator, the world's going to hit us. And the world's going to hit us so hard, even a Google won't be able to find out where we're at. Okay? And that is so evident. And we can't let the world do that to us. So we got to be wise. But the way is set. It says here, the title of the message is centered on the Lord. It's a position. There's a specific post that the Lord wants you at. This isn't just a lollygag, just wherever you feel like going, just go ahead. No, the Lord wants you in a specific place. I remember Mr. Noah and I were talking yesterday or the day before a little bit about Jonah. And God had a specific place for Jonah to go, didn't he? And he didn't go there. He didn't go to Nineveh, he went to Tarshish. Different place. And God wants you in a centered, it's a position, the way is set. God has given you the place He wants you. And we have to remember that we got to make sure our navigation is entered correctly. We got to make sure of that. And we got to remember in Psalms 124, verse 8, where it says, "Our help is in the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth." So we're talking about our way is set. And have you ever, we'd all agree here, we can't believe everything Google says, right? You can't believe everything the media says. And it's like that everywhere, all around the world today. Why? Man is inherently evil. But we can't trust what they say. But we can trust the word of our Lord. That is the only thing we can trust. And the words I give you today are not Brad Savage. They are the words of the Lord. And we can trust those. When you put them in your spiritual navigation, you can bank on that. And you can be centered on the work of God, knowing that the navigation, because our help's in the Lord. And the one helping us is, just the one that made the heavens and the earth. So I'm okay with that. You guys should be too. But we see here the charge first. There's a charge from the Father to the Son. And we got to remember that being centered on the Lord means a charge has been given to us, and let's fulfill that charge. Not only that, but the choice of the heart. Verse 17, where it says, "Let not thine heart envy sinners." We see here, let not. That means it's up to you. That's what it's trying to say here. I could get up here and say a bunch of eloquent words and maybe get you to laugh and maybe even get a teardrop from your eyes or your face and maybe get an emotional rise out of you. But when you walk out of this door, you're going to make a choice.
Right.
Are you going to continue in sin? Or are you going to continue to swing left to right? Or are you going to make the choice of the heart to do what's right? And that's something that is entirely up to you.
Right.
I'm not going to make that decision, and God's not going to make that decision for you.
Right.
You have to make that decision. Interesting. With all the power, God could have made us all robots.
Right.
Where we're just, you know, going to church and yeah, but that there wouldn't be any sincerity with that, would there? There wouldn't be any heart in that, but God gave you freedom to choose. And I hope that everyone that walks out this door decides, I'm going to make a choice of the heart, and that's to serve the Lord. The first point under the choice of the heart is the wish. We see here, envy not. Don't envy that. Don't wish to be like the wicked people. Don't do that. And there is peace with the Lord. We understand that. 1 John chapter 2, if you want to turn there real quick, we'll read just a couple verses, and I'll have to keep plugging away here. 1 John chapter 2, verse 15, very important verse, and I'm going to wait just a minute for those that are still searching for it to read these verses with me, because they're very important. But 1 John chapter 2, verse 15 says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away. Mr. Noah mentioned this a minute ago about nations rise, militaries rise, but you know it doesn't go away is the word of the Lord.
Right.
And the world passeth away and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. So this is what you have to wish for. You have to wish to do the will and the work of God, because we see the contrast that we can't be friends. We can't say that we love God if we are friends with the world. You can't straddle the fence. It doesn't work well for anybody when that happens. And we have to remember that. But the wish, our wish has to change. If we're envying the world, we got to wish on other things. And as I know, I have one son, but as a father to a son, there are some things that my son in the beginning might not have liked, but I've had to really direct him in the right way. Like, no, this is good. How many times in the Bible does the Lord say, Almighty God, have to convince you that his way is the good way? Wouldn't it be nice if you just say it one time? God has to say it a bunch of times to us because we're kind of slow sometimes. And he has to say it a whole bunch of times. Like if I had to say it to my son, and how my dad had to say that to me many times. Just as we're saying, the Lord is saying to you today, the Lord's way is the good way. And that's what we should wish for. Not only wish, but the will. The will is a future, interesting. It's a future tense. Expressing desire and willingness. I hope that everyone here today desires to draw closer to the Lord and to continue to do and do more for the work of God. That's what our will should be. That's what we want in the future, to do those things. Proverbs chapter 23 and verse number 19, it says, hear thou, my son, and be wise, and guide thine heart in the way. And in verse 26, it says, my son, give me thine heart, and let thine eyes observe my ways. The father is telling the son, son, trust me, give me your heart, and I want you to observe what I'm going to do now and tomorrow to guide you. And that is what the Lord is trying to do to us. He's saying, give me your heart today. I want it today. Freely give it to me today, and observe my ways. That way you can make our Father proud and rejoice because of the work of that he's done through his Son. Psalms 119, verse 15. I'm going to turn there real quick and read a verse, and I'll be on to my last point. Psalms 119, verse 15. It says, I will meditate in thy precepts and have respect unto thy ways. I will delight myself in thy statutes. I will not forget thy word. That should be our will today. Our will today is that we're going to meditate on what our Heavenly Father has told us, and that we're going to have respect unto it. You know, respect is something, once again, that you don't see the respect for God that unsaved nations, unsaved people throughout the ages had more respect than modern-day believers now for God. It's sad. It's really sad. But we need to meditate on what God's given us, have respect unto His ways, and delight yourself in the statutes of our Heavenly Father. We should delight in them. And I don't know about you guys, but I'll just ask for an uplifted hand. Who here wakes up every day happy? I'm like that. A couple of us. A couple of us are like that. I wake up every day happy. Drives my wife crazy, but I wake up every day singing and happy. And praise God, only God can do that.
Right.
I tell you today, and everyone here can have that. This isn't something that's just for me, it's for everybody.
Right.
I wake up happy every day, and the Lord is the one that had to have done that. It's not from the world. We know the world can't give you that joy, and it's definitely not for me. So there's only one other place with deductive reasoning where it could have came from, and that's from our Father.
Right.
That's the only place it could have came from. But we see here that we are supposed to delight, though, in the statutes of God. Delight in it. Whether I'm getting up on a rainy day on a steep roof, or whether I'm having to run a bunch of errands or do the work of God, whatever it is, I delight in the statutes of my Heavenly Father. And if you want to be centered on the work of God, you're going to have to delight in the precepts and the statutes that your Father has given you. Otherwise, you're not going to be centered on God and His work. So we got to remember that. The last point I have here is not only the charge and the choice of the heart, but the last point here is centered on the Lord. And we see in verse 17 where it says, let not thine heart envy sinners, but be thou in the fear of the Lord, and here's the important part, all the day long. I've met some people, a lot of people that are like this. And to be honest, most people I know are like this, right? And you're kind of figuring out, like, who are you? Where are you here on this graph here? Are you here? Are you here? Where are you? Okay? But it says here, God, and we were singing that psalm the other day, I think it was Sunday night, where it says, demands my soul, my life, my all. I forgot the name of the song, but maybe someone can help me out. But anyways, the Lord has done so much for us, and He demands our all.
Right.
And I'm grateful for the one who died and did all of this for me, and was willing, and His Son was willing, and He was willing to forsake His Son even for the sins, to bear the sins of the cross and all these things. And it demands something of me. The Lord doesn't want half your day. He wants it all. And you may say, well, how can I survive in life if I'm giving God, you know, my whole life? And it's pretty easy. You know, the one that created everything, made the heavens and the earth and all this stuff. I think He could figure it out.
Amen.
The Lord feeds the sparrows. I'm pretty sure He's got you covered. Right? We all have to work, make money. We all have bills to pay. We all have things we got to do. The Lord knows those things. He's not stupid. And He's saying to a father, to a son, give me your heart today and observe my ways, and you'll be centered on Him and His work. That's important. But centered on the Lord all the day long. Psalms 25, verse 5. I'm going to turn there and read a verse real quick. Psalms 25, verse 5 says, lead me in thy truth and teach me, for thou art the God of my salvation. On thee do I wait all the day. That's a good verse. Very relative to what we're saying. Where the Psalm of David, he's saying, as a son talking to the Heavenly Father, Lord, you are going to be the one that's going to have to lead me. Because I've done it my own way and it doesn't work. So Lord, I'm going to put some faith. I might only have a little bit of faith, maybe the grain of mustard seed, but let's start there. And you're saying, Lord, lead me. And you're going to have to teach me these things because I don't know them yet. Right? And it says here, for thou art the God of my salvation. He's the one that saved you. Isn't it not appropriate that you go to Him?
Right.
We get saved by God and we get what we want from Him, and then we go to the world and envy what sinners have? Well, that doesn't make any sense. Why don't we go to the God of our salvation? The one that saved our soul. That's the one we should be going to. But it says here, throughout, thou art the God of my salvation. On thee do I wait all the day. God's timing is always appropriate. God knows exactly when to give you what you need. And it's not His power that's lacking. It's our faith and patience in Him is what it is. And we have to remember that. But the first point under the centered on the Lord, I'll be quick about these, is the walk. In our text, Proverbs 13, 17, it says, where it says, I put it here, be thou, let not thine heart envy sinners, but be thou in the fear of the Lord. So the Lord is telling us where to walk. This is where I want you, right here. And it's a walk that we're supposed to be thou. And that's what it's saying here, that there's some things here that we're supposed to be doing. I'm going to turn and read a verse real quick. I was just there. I should have kept my marker there. Psalms 25, verse 4, a real quick verse where it says, show me thy ways, O Lord, teach me thy paths. There's a path for you to take from this day until the Lord takes you home. You know, the missionary was just talking about some decisions that need to be made. And praise the Lord, from his admittance, he's saying, I better consult the Lord on this one and not myself. But we have to ask the Lord to teach us, and you need to show us that path that you want me to walk. And that's what we're supposed to be asking. If we want to be centered on the Lord, our walk has to be in the right direction, in the right path. Matthew 6:33, a very familiar passage of Scripture where it talks about, I'll turn there real quick and read a verse. Matthew 6, verse 33. It says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. So we're supposed to seek first the kingdom of God. You would say that would mean you are centered on the Lord. And when it talks about all the day long, the Lord doesn't want to demand, once again, part of you. He wants all of you, the whole thing. So where it says here that we're supposed to seek first the kingdom of God, we cannot receive God and then just say that we're going to make Him just a portion of our life. Because we're talking about being centered on the Lord, and we're talking about the walk we're supposed to be in. If you are going to seek first the kingdom of God, then you're not going to love the world. You're not going to do the things of the world. And you're not going to envy what sinners have. I've said this before, very important for us to understand. You can't, like, the peace that God gives could never be bought by the envious. That's right. Or by the sinners. Could never be bought by the sinners. The peace that God gives. So, when you do seek the Lord first and His righteousness, He gives you different things than you thought you needed. Like, He gives you peace. He gives you joy in doing different things. Sometimes before we were saved, our peace and joy was having money so we can go play. Now we want time to go win souls for Christ. Right. Starting churches, praying, grateful, witnessing to people. And when they do get saved, or when they do have a sinner, a friend that repents, we are overwhelmed with joy. And you receive something that you thought you wanted, but God gives you something even better. He gives something, that peace and joy that you have. And that's walking the walk that God wants you to walk. So not only centered on the Lord in our walk, but also in His Word. If we turn back to Proverbs chapter 23, if you look in verse 22, I'm almost done. Get you out of here in just a minute. Proverbs chapter 23, verse 22, it says, hearken unto thy father that begat thee, and despise not thy mother when she is old. Buy the truth and sell it not, also wisdom and instruction and understanding. So centered on the Lord in our walk and in the Word of God, we're supposed to be centered on that. We're supposed to buy the truth and sell it not. Hearken unto thy Father that begat thee. Our Heavenly Father begat us, adopted us into His as His child. And it says we're supposed to hearken unto Him, and we're supposed to buy the truth and sell it not. And what's interesting is, I'm not going to turn there for time's sake, But what's really cool, Psalms 18, verse 29 through 34, if you want to write it down, you can, where it talks about the word of the Lord is like a buckler.
Right?
And I had to look up the word buckler, and it's pretty cool. It's a shield, but it's not only a shield, but it's a portable shield. Pretty cool. So the word of the Lord, when we're talking about being centered on the Lord, in the way we get the word of God is like a portable shield for us. It's a shield that we can take with us and all that. And of course, we know the word of the Lord is actually quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. But the word of the Lord is so powerful. It is a buckler. It is a shield unto us. And in that passage of Scripture, it talks about how our God is going to teach our hands to war. And that's pretty cool. And I'll tell you this, Satan is not going to teach you how to war. He's going to teach you how to fall on your face, is how he's going to do it. How you can conjure up all the splendor of this world, whatever that might be, that vanity, that of what the sinners are doing. But our God wants to give us the word of God. That's going to be a shield, a portable shield, a buckler to us. But Satan doesn't teach us to war. God's the one that's going to do that. And we can only get that in the word of God. That is how important your Bible is to read it. And we're not trying to pull the wool out of anyone's eyes here tonight. We want you to open up the word of God freely and read it. And when you read the truth, it will set you free. But it says here, when you get the truth, it says, buy it and sell it not. Because the truth is what we want. In conclusion, I just want to say, help us, Lord, to stay centered on you and your work. For you have kept us from the snare of the fowlers, and we are escaped. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made the heavens and the earth.